So we're doing this talking taboos theme, and we're exploring topics that we maybe don't talk about a lot in culture, we try to avoid, maybe don't bring up in polite society, or topics that we sometimes avoid in church, maybe because they're a little difficult. We don't want too much tension happening. And money seemed like an obvious one to put on the list. And then when I was spending time thinking about what would our scripture readings be, I started saying, okay, well, let's start with the Gospels. It was a hard choice. There are a lot of Gospel stories that are about money in one way or another. This is something that Jesus talks about a lot. And in general, our scriptures talk about quite a bit. So why is it that we have lots about money in our scriptures, but we're not always as comfortable talking about it in our own lives, at least maybe in personal terms? We're more comfortable talking about big scale economic issues. But once it becomes more personal, that's more challenging. And I think one of the reasons is that this might be the case in the church comes from that first scripture reading we heard, where Jesus tells the man who comes and asks what he needs to do. And he first gets the easy answer, you know, follow the basic rules, be a good person. And then he gets the harder answer. He gets the harder answer, which is give up everything that you have and follow me. That's certainly the harder answer for the rich man. But how much more for us to imagine actually listening to those words. And so it's not surprising that Jesus says how much harder it is for a rich man to make it to the kingdom of God than for a camel to make it through the eye of a needle. And this little story is the reason that I don't believe anyone who takes the Bible seriously and thinks there's no humor in it, because I challenge you to imagine a camel fitting through the eye of a needle and not laugh. Okay, thank you. It's funny. We don't have quite the sophistication in humor, but I mean, its little neck sticking through a tiny little, its head stuck on one side, its body stuck on the other side. How's that hump going to make? Right? And it's intentionally ridiculous. Right? It's an intentionally impossible scenario because he's making a point. He's proving something in a really grounded way that everyone can visualize. But what, so that the conclusion is, okay, so no one should be rich. And that's difficult when we examine the wealth that we have in our own lives. And at different times in our lives, we might feel differently about how we fall on the spectrum from wealth to poverty. But even if we think in global terms, we know that we fall quite well in Canada on that spectrum. That is challenging to hear. So what's behind that idea that it's difficult for someone who's rich to make it to be a part of the kingdom of God? What's the point that Jesus is trying to make about what riches, what wealth can do to create a barrier, to put up that little needle that it seems impossible to make it through? He's not saying everyone should be poor and have nothing. That's not what he's saying. I think what he's talking about is income inequality or economic disparity, about the separation that happens between those who have and those who don't, and the way that separation somehow becomes talked about in terms of what someone deserves or doesn't deserve. Does someone deserve a pay raise because they worked hard? Does someone deserve to get a free meal if they're not doing anything all day? That question of our worth or our deserving being somehow attached to our income or to what we have is a thing that Jesus is saying, this is not right. And when that happens, that's not what the kingdom of God looks like. Because remember, we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're not talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're not talking about heaven as some distant future thing out there. We're talking about the kingdom of God, which is about right here, right now, God's vision for what the world can be. And in that vision, everyone has enough and no one has too much. So to be part of that vision, we can't be holding on to our wealth, our riches, to the detriment of others. That's that basic point. That doesn't necessarily make it easier to hear for us. But it's important that we make that distinction. It's not about wealth for its own sake. It's about what that means in terms of what our society looks like. It's important to hear here in Canada. I don't know if you were reading, I think it was this summer, there was an article in Huffington Post that was about another one of the studies that found that in Canada, the 87 wealthiest families have a net worth equivalent, a net income equivalent to almost everyone in Newfoundland, New Brunswick, and Prince Edward Island. 87 families, 3 provinces, roughly equivalent. That's a problem. In basic terms, you don't have to work out all the ways that this could or could not be the case, but in basic terms, that's a problem. That's a barrier to us being a part of God's kingdom. And the income gap, the income disparity that exists in Canada, we know is continuing to increase, as those who have higher paying jobs are continuing to earn more, and those who have lower paying jobs are continuing to earn essentially the same wage. That means that income gap continues to increase, and it's particularly pronounced in cities like ours here. And that's a barrier to all of us being a part of God's kingdom, a vision where all have enough, where all belong, and where all have worth and value. And just as another little aside, because I was doing lots of reading on this, we also are currently at the highest debt level, personal debt level in Canada. And Canada has one of the highest personal debt levels in the developed world. So that on average, for every dollar a person earns, someone owes $1.60. I think that's the right number. And that continues to emphasize the problem that wealth offers us, where if we think we need more, and there's many reasons for debt, but sometimes it is the need to keep up, to try to achieve something that we can't with what we have, and it continues to spiral. And that is a problem for the kingdom of God, because that's not a vision where everyone has enough, where everyone is welcome and belongs and has a place. And so for those with the riches, that becomes a barrier. So what do we do when we talk about money? One of the things that we do is talk about generosity. And that's a good place to go, although we need to not just think in terms of generosity, but also how do we find ways to address the larger systemic issues. So there's personal generosity, and then there's larger instances where we need advocacy, regulation, meaningful solutions. We need both. But speaking about generosity, we hear our second story, which is about the vineyard owner who comes to the marketplace where the day laborers gather multiple times during the day, and each time invites those he sees to come and work. And at the end of the day, everyone receives the same wage, the wage of a day's work. And the people who've been working all day are upset. Would you be upset if you were that person working all day in the vineyard and you found that someone who'd only been working there for an hour earned the same amount? Yes. Okay, we got a yes over here. We've got a yes. Yes. Because, why? Because it's not fair, right? We think that what we earn, our income, should be associated with our work and with our worth. When I was back in the days when I was a graduate student and a teaching assistant, I was part of the teaching support staff union, my university, and we were in the process of approaching what we knew would be another set of contract negotiations in the midst of a time when the universities were saying there was going to be no increases for any of the support staff, any of the teaching assistants and lecturers, that there'd be no increases. And we were worried as a union that it wouldn't be possible even to protect the benefits and the protections that we had, much less have any kind of pay increase. And there was a session where a senior level university administration person came and was talking as part of a discussion, and someone asked the questions, given this economic situation and the difficult position of our teaching assistants and lecturers who are finding it difficult to make ends meet on the small amount earned and the difficulty of this being contract work, would you consider a pay cut in solidarity with those who are experiencing this? And he didn't even hesitate before saying, I don't think so. I'm earning this. I deserve this income, despite the fact that it is so much more. The hard work that he was doing, he wouldn't consider thinking of in a terms that wasn't attached to his work and his worth. And think of a larger picture. And that's not a surprising position. Of course it's not. But it does remind us of what that challenge of the vision of God's kingdom. And for those of you who aren't here every week, I always remind us when we talk about God's kingdom, that's just the word that was used to challenge what already existed, which was a bunch of kingdoms. So today's wording is a lot more awkward, so I don't say it. It's like God's representative democracy in a vaguely liberal climate with now interesting right-wing leanings, right? God's version of that, aka not what we have now, but something that is much better. God's version of that, God's vision of that, is one that is not determined by the world's notions of work or the world's notions of worth, but is based on all having enough. It's based on a generosity that is not based on how we see value, but recognizes the intrinsic goodness and value of each of us as human beings and all of creation. That generosity is symbolized by this font, by this water, which welcomes all of us, which is a symbol of life and hope and a reminder of the places in our world where disparity needs to be addressed. We all deserve to be touched and nourished by water. That generosity, that overflowing in the places where we feel parched physically, emotionally, and spiritually, is God's vision of abundance, of wholeness, of generosity. That's the vision that we're called to live into in our lives. And depending on what our lives look like, the way we live into that will be different. But it starts with remembering that what we earn or once earned or now earn does not determine our value. And what someone else earns or doesn't earn does not determine their worth. That the way God sees the world is very, very different. And so we're faced with a challenge to think about this, not to accept the way the world says things have to be. And we're left with the challenge to love and care for others as generously, as wastefully, as abundantly as God does us. Let us do this work together. Amen.